Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. Looks like we have a little bit of a glitch. We wanted to open the show with Oh Soul by Blessed Brother and Song Spirit and Soul, Isaac Baton. And for whatever reason, it didn't start. So we're going to go without the musical intro, which is usually the way we start every broadcast of Soul Class, a class dedicated to reminding everyone, as we of Israel start every day with this pronouncement, which used to be just on our beds, but now we want to share it with the rest of the world, as suggested and advised by the Lubavitch Rebbe 25, 28, maybe 30 years ago, and here it goes. Moda ani lefonecha melech hai v'kayom shechazarta bi nishmasi b'chemla rabba munasecha. I acknowledge, I give thanks before you, living and everlasting King, that you have returned my soul to me, within me, with mercies abundant or great are your mercies within your humble creature. With that being said, let's just think about this and let's take a little meditation. Plucking from Shar Yichud V'Amunah, the Gate of Unification and Faith, from Chapter 7 from the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe Shneur Zalman Liadi. Who is going to transcend space and time? Who is going to be found below in space and time? Who is going to completely fill the earth in time and in place, space? Who is going to be in the heavens above and the earth below? What's going to permeate above the earth on the earth below? That's the Most High Creator. And the very fact that the Most High Creator conceals His light, according to His divine wisdom, is that existence of Zman or Mokom, time and space, should not be nullified, because within the Almighty Creator, there are no attributes that we can understand that are grasping or taking up His space, meaning to limit Him in His infinite attributes. There is nothing there except the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the Infinite Creator, may be blessed, but yet He allows us to access Him through blessed times, space, and of course, soul, blessed souls. And with that being said, as a preface to today's portion, as I'm turning the pages for the notes that I had prepared. Yeah, that's Parshas Naso. We're getting to Parshas Shalach, which we'll get to in a moment. I want to read also something from the Lubavitch Rebbe, because I also want to mention, blessed souls, a book that I hope to be sharing more and more with you in the future. It is written by a naturopath doctor, a new friend that I have found, Baruch Hashem, in Crescent Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. His name is Dr. Benjamin Sarlin. He's written a terrific book called Everything They Don't Teach at Harvard Medical School, A Diet for a Small Planet, 10 Steps to Health, Greatness, and Ideal Weight, because part of a Torah lifestyle should be healthy attitudes about food, healthy lifestyles, healthy engagements and exercise. And just a quote, another quote from the Rebbe before we go into the meat of our hopefully humble presentation. And this is in the beginning of the book by Dr. Sarlin. What are they focusing on? The symptoms on how to prevent the outcome. We're not going to focus on the underlying philosophy or approach. For a person who is ill can be healed in one of two ways. One way is to wait until he or she is in grave danger and then begin to seek a remedy. And then he or she can be sent to a hospital where he or she will be confined due to his or her unstable condition, for he or she has become unhinged. Then there is the correct approach. This is from the start to ensure that, quote, all the illnesses I sent that I visited upon Egypt will not befall you, end of quote. This must cause us to change our approach to education of belief in one's own strength. When the education of youth is based on a Creator who gives you strength, the Creator who gives you life, and when a person, he or she, is taught, according to this foundation, that the Creator gives you strength, the Creator gives you life, we will do away with the need to heal and won't arrive at this situation of unhealthy children and students, physically and spiritually, I add, as well. Blessed souls, for those of us and yourselves, blessed souls, that want to be, express some level of unity with the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, we are scattered all around the world, but at the same time, too, we hope to have a soon to be brought in under the aegis of Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteous Messiah, who will roar out Torah Chadashah, insights of Torah that never been revealed, even to the likes of the mighty Moshe, mighty Moses, the Levite prophet, Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, I want to humbly point you in the direction of the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 1, and ending at chapter 15, verse 41, in the fourth book of the book of Numbers. And as well, we'll be reading from the Haftarah of the prophet, the leader, from the Shevet Ephraim, from the tribe of Ephraim, Yehoshua, Joshua. We'll be reading from chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 24. And just a little recapitulation from the Shai Yuchad V'Amunah by the Alter Rebbe. I think it's such a potent teaching to connect with blessed souls. Who transcends space? Who is above time? Who can be recognized via physical space and with all of its blessed synergy with blessed space without being directly seen, as the Creator is not directly seen, but His countenance does shine to us when we are aware and conscious of the fact that countenance is shining upon us. And the fact that we have the ability to look into Torah, divine instruction, that is one expression of divine countenance shining upon our face. The Most High has a kingship which can express infinity by completely filling every molecule of the living earth, who at the same time as being the source of all creation, yet simultaneously tolerates all the most humblest of creatures and creations that exist, even those beings, some human and many non-human, who go about living their lives bereft of a desire to grow in their connection to the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the Infinite One may be blessed. For those of us, I intend, that's another glitch. Okay, sorry about that, blessed souls. That was out of the blue, which, by the way, will be the song we hope to conclude with today by our blessed brother, David Holm. David Dom will help us get home. Let me go back to my notes. For those of us, and I intend, I'm going to come in on anyone who will hear this humble effort, or one day will as well, during this live presentation in existential time and synergistic space, or an archive of time and space, come to realize and internalize, we are renewed upon our first moment upon awakening each and every day, and have the option to proclaim humbly, joyfully, energetically, with the utmost confidence, whether, again, upon our initially waking up in the morning, or if we have a moment of sudden awakening from some sort of spiritual slumber, or even physical slumber in the middle of the day, to give thanks to the Creator that He has restored our soul mercifully. And great is His faith in us. To understand this simple and yet such a great, profound concept is to seek attachment, which empowers development. In simple terms, blessed souls, love breeds and spawns forward into the creation capability, which can be actualized, each one according to his or her blessings. And as well, in the merits of their ancestors. If any person lacks a sense of being loved by the Creator, or cannot reciprocate a human expression of love, or other ensuing emotions which can spring forth from human expressions of love, what can be expected of such a person other than a likely scenario, Hashem Irachem, Hashem of mercy upon all of us? If a person cannot give forth and feel love towards another human being or other positive feelings about other human beings, what can be expected of such a person other than a likely scenario of detachment and a treacherous self-looping verbal behavior rendering damage upon others and ultimately oneself? Now we connect now, blessed souls, to the part of this continual series, which is entitled, of course, A Prophet, A Leper, and Revealed Glory. This is Soul Class number 296, and this is the seventh installment in this program, series, tutorial, whatever you want to call it. My mumblings. During the past three presentations in this series, Blessed Souls, we focused on the sudden and intense affliction of leprosy incurred by the righteous Miriam, sister of Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, and we mentioned last week her high level of tzitkus, of righteousness, as discussed during the previous program. And her tzitkus was actually corresponding to the level of culpability where she was instantly afflicted with the tzaras, with the leprosy. However, for and during Israelite biblical times, as written in the Bible, the Torah, from that 40-year sojourn in the Sinai Desert until the cessation of the priestly branch of Israel in terms of their capacities, having the ability to identify leprosy, tzaras, a leprosy struck an Israelite. And I want to again mention what we're talking about today, blessed soul. The leprosy of the Torah is not the modern affliction of leprosy. And may those who have the modern affliction of leprosy, may they all be completely healed in a way that everyone recognizes Hashem Rofe Kol Basar, the Creator is the healer of all flesh. But we're talking about the biblically described leprosy, the tzaras of the Torah. And what type of treatment was facilitated? What was the treatment process and the healing process? Well, first of all, blessed souls, it was incumbent upon the Israelite to reach a sufficient level of contrition, teshuvah, sense of repentance, return, to want to return to one's true balanced state of being. Because any one of the Israelites who were afflicted with tzaras, leprosy, from the time of Moshe until the time of diagnosing and treating biblically described leprosy, was in fact something which required the participation of the Israelite to acknowledge something has gone wrong in their human life experience. And then they would have to participate as actively as possible in their healing and treatment process, which is, so to speak, perhaps a biblical instruction hinting to the naturopathic healing process, which a brave soul like Dr. Benjamin Sarlin, who instead of going the way of the normative means of making a living as a licensed medical doctor, physician, has gone the way of naturopathy. But again, hopefully within the next month or so, I hope to start a tutorial series with him. May Hashem help us to bring this about. We're in the negotiation process with that. First, let's go back to what we want to talk about today. First, as written in Leviticus Vayikra, chapter 13, verse 1, there is the mention of a distinguishing mark upon one's human flesh. It could appear as an elevation, a scab, or a bright spot. And it also would appear to have penetrated into the skin as well. Now, this bright spot would make the skin appear like snow, as Rashi, the Prami elucidator of the Torah, mentions, that there actually were different names of this skin affliction, and comments whether a person, and when you know what goes about when a person notices an elevation, which in Hebrew is called a sa'es or sa'et. What if a person were to identify a scab or notice a scab, a sapachas or a sapachat on their skin, or a bright spot, a beheris, a beheret. And we're dealing with different levels of whiteness associated with this particular form of skin affliction, as well the determination of who is afflicted with leprosy, again, is solely within the realm of the diagnostic capabilities and responsibilities, according to the Torah, of the Kohanim, the Kohen, the priestly branch of Israel. Within this context, blessed souls, if in the area of the skin afflicted, there was noticed that there was a hair, say on the person's skin there was what appeared to be a scab or an elevation or a bright spot, and there were hair, and the hair was black, a dark in color, and I believe there needed to be two hairs in that area where the flesh had turned in one of the three ways that is described in the Torah as a potential diagnosis of leprosy, tsaras. If those two hairs within that area afflicted were black and turned white, that person would be identified by the Kohen, the priest of Israel, as unclean. Now, and again, you can learn about this in chapter 13, verse 1, going further in the book of Leviticus, Sefer Vayikra. If, however, those two hairs, and again, we're talking about two black hairs, there has to be a minimum of two black hairs in the region of that skin affliction, located within the region of the whitened, afflicted skin, if they do not change color, the Kohen would declare that that person needed to be quarantined for 7 days, and at the conclusion of those 7 days would undergo another evaluation. Now, at the end of that first period of 7 days, the Kohen looked at his or her skin, and again, the black hairs remain black. For precautionary measures, according to Torah instruction, that person would have to be quarantined another 7 days away from the Israelite camps or society to determine after the end of the 7 days if again the hairs on the skin had turned black in the area of the affliction. Now, at the end of the 2 weeks, if the hairs within the skin afflicted area remained dark, did not change white, the Kohen would pronounce them not to have incurred tsaras, leprosy, but rather they had incurred a skin abnormality, but not one that would identify or associate him or her with the affliction, the skin affliction, the nega basari, or nega ba'ori, of tsaras, of leprosy. Now, once being cleared of that 2 week period of under the monitoring eye of the Kohen at the end of each 7 days, on the seventh day, the individual who went such an intense scrutiny would be required to immerse himself or herself in what is called a mikvah, biblically prescribed waters of purification, mayim tahara or mayim chayim. Now, hopefully, blessed souls, we will continue concerning these discussions about biblical leprosy for the Israelite. Again, that was applicable from the days of Moses onward up until the destruction of the Second Temple over 1,943 years ago. And that information was provided to me by a young Torah scholar, very serious man, diligent in his studies, Harav Avraham Keller of Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. We now invite blessed souls to consider the final portion of our efforts today, to recall that we've been plucking generously from a Hasidic discourse delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 5722, according to the Hebrew lunar calendar, or 1962, according to the International Sun calendar, concerning elucidations via Panimus HaTorah, the inner dimensions of Torah, regarding biblical prophecy, Novi HaGula, the prophet of redemption, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, and the glory of the Creator will be revealed, and all flesh together will see, for the mouth of the Creator has spoken. I wish to recall tersely, blessed souls, from our humble submission last week, and what we call a program, last week's tutorial, mumblings, whatever you want to call it. I wish to recall that attention was given to the Torah instruction that spirituality, yes, is rooted, mushrash, in Chochme Eloh, Chochme Elyon, of the Creator, and is subject to all forms of cause and effect relationships throughout the creation, Ilavo Olu, divinely spawned, born out within Seder Hashtaushalus, in the order of the chaining down of the creation of the worlds. While physicality, we mentioned last week, is rooted, and by the way, that idea of cause and effect and all forms of spirituality chaining down through cause and effect relationships is rooted in a dimension of divine light of the Orient Sof called Mamalika Amin, the light that fills all the worlds, divine light, according to the vessel that is provided for that light to fill it up. So therefore, the body of a human being is capable of receiving a certain dimension of this light that fills all the worlds, and a one-cell amoeba receives also Mamalika Amin, according to the vessel of that hopefully healthy, one-celled, created specimen. However, blessed souls, when we deal with physicality, it is rooted within Sovid Kal Almin, the quality, the light that is encompassing all worlds, that level of divine light of the Orient Self, that the Infinite Creator may be blessed, that brings about manifest creation in a way of Yeshma Ayin, that sense of materiality, Mitzius, comes from the divine nothingness, the capacity within the Creator, as Creator so deemed, that from absolute Ayin Mukhlat, absolute nothingness, came forth a physical creation. And therefore, we're trying to work out why physicality from a certain dimension is coming from a higher source within the blessed light of the Creator, as opposed to spirituality. You would think it'd be the opposite, because spirituality is so ethereal, concepts of the soul are so ethereal, you can't taste, touch, or feel it. How is it that we assert that physicality comes from a higher level within the, so to speak, realm, not according to the Creator, but according to our understandings as human beings, all blessed, anointed with Eitzelem Elokim, that physicality is actually coming from a higher realm within the order of creation, not bound by cause and effect relationships. So we ponder and take a deep breath and exhale the following insight, that while spirituality and physicality have their own roots to the exclusion of each other, still, there must be something that binds physicality and spirituality together. And it is something so simple, the majority of the human family experience pays no heed to the significance of the created substance of food, which is principally just corporeal matter, which in fact, according to Torah instruction, ties together spirituality and physicality with spirituality. True, and it must be emphasized, the divine catalyst for this Torah biblical truth is that the Creator is ultimately Makor de Kula, the source of everything, and is able to effect the wonder of connecting all forms of spiritual intent with physical matter. However, without possessing a PhD in biology, anatomy, or physiology, we all understand quite simply that cessation of food consumption weakens one's powers, one's abilities, one's strength after a day or two. Everyone knows after they fast a day or two. I've only fasted at the most 26 hours for Yom Kippur, but I know there are people who have done more than one day for health reasons, and I'm sure even for spiritual reasons, that if a person continues to fast, ultimately, the untouchable, unseeable, undigestible, unhearable, unsmellable soul will in fact, God forbid, depart from the physical body it was enclosed in when that physical body was being nourished by physical food. This simple act of physical eating, blessed souls, connects the soul to enliven the body. And that seminal point of livity, vitality, is pertinent to soul life force, relevant to its shlichut, its mission to enliven the body it's enclosed in. For we should try, I think, blessed souls, I humbly suggest, be aware of that the level of human soul life force, which in fact exists, at a level that it gives life to our body, there's a whole realm, a whole universe of human soul life force, chayes shel nefesh, which exists even way beyond the enclosement and even the needs of a human body, but sometimes has been accessed by special souls throughout the history of the human family living experience. And the Rebbe, in his Hasidic discourse, his Maimar, mentioned that this was alluded to in a verse from Tanakh, from the Book of Kings, Book 1, Chapter 17, Verse 1, concerning Eliyahu Navi, Elijah the prophet, as described here in the Book of Kings, Book 1, Chapter 17, Verse 1, quote, Elijah the Tishbite, a resident of Gilead, Eliyahu HaTishbi HaGiladi, in this verse, plucking from it, said to Ahab, as Hashem, Creator, God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, end of quote. The standing of the righteous soul, a righteous soul on the level of the prophet Elijah, who according to some oral Torah traditions, will actually be one of the harbingers of the universal redemption, hopefully speed in our days, techof miyad mamash. The standing that is mentioned in that verse that I just read to you, where I just read, before whom I stand, testified to his standing, as the Rebbe elaborated, within his ahava, his love, and his yirah, and his fear of the Creator, and thereby empowering him to access a level of elokut, divinity, which was way beyond normative human experience, beyond normal enclosement of soul capacities within the human body, until, if you look in the continuation of that verse, in verses to come, Elijah pronounced prophetically that he could righteously declare the ability to elicit rain or dew for a specified period in his lifetime, which would be dependent only upon his human speech, as we would observe him speak, those who would merit to live in the time of Elijah the prophet. May we merit to see live in his times with his hopefully imminent resurrection of Kitzuron and Shachne, offer those who lay in the dust shall rise up to sing joyously upon the great resurrection. Certainly Elijah the prophet was accessing a form of life force beyond normative human abilities, which all of us can learn about, this human potential, but unfortunately at this time, not all of us can access it due to essentially the Most High has not empowered or communicated to us that we can reach that level. We can just pronounce rain upon a land and it will rain and there will be no more drought in the world, plain and simple. And I know this is a very big topic of discussion in human being discourse right now, the concern of lack of water for the world, and it is definitely a crisis. And unfortunately, the lack of proper distribution, coupled by the hatred and jealousy and unfortunately unneeded competition among the families of the earth, is more likely, I humbly suggest, a cause for the lack of water ingestion by human beings and those parts of the world who are parched and suffering for lack of water. That was my own little editorial comment. Thank you. Resuming our discussion between human food and human body, the essence of human food is for the sake of the human body. The intention of human food for the human body relates to the shoresh, the root of food and body, where they are, again, the root of food and body as entities, corporeal matter, the corporeal matter of food, human food, and the corporeal matter of human body are rooted within the divine qualities, Bechinot Eloki, of Sovika Amin, again, that light, that divine light that encompasses all the worlds. We distinguish this light because we need to, in all humility, quite frankly, recognize the fact that we are not conscious of everything, yet we know beyond our consciousness, there is consciousness, divine consciousness of the Creator, which has decided to give us life, chayim, lachayim, to life. And this divine light encompasses all the worlds equally, for we of human flesh and human blood and human soul at a certain level is beyond our consciousness just as equally as the Most High is beyond the consciousness of a ladybug. And even though we can, I don't know if we have what to pride ourselves in, we have a consciousness at a certain level way beyond the cognitive processing abilities of a ladybug, but a ladybug can fly. We have no comprehension how to fly from our own perspective. Okay, so yes, we can fly in a plane, a helicopter, we can take a jump off a diving board, but that's not true flight. Are we, you know, the Jetson technology, which some, the harbingers of future scientific euphoria are banging the drums of false optimism upon us. Not that I'm against technology, but quite frankly, but those human beings are not meant to fly on our own. And while there are stories of certain tzaddikim who could fly for moments by pronouncing divine names, we don't promote that idea, and I don't promote that idea to anyone else, because that would be a certain death wish at this level of the progression of the creation, and not a positive move. If you want to really fly in the creation, do an act of kindness. You'll grow spiritual wings much more potent than the wings of an eagle who flies to the highest heights of creation of any winged bird, as I understand. I'm just going to step away for 2 seconds with those to pull out the book, because I didn't conclude my notes. I'm just going to pluck from the book that this Hasidic teaching from the Rebbe elucidated upon over 50 years ago. Hold on, please. Where's the book? La la la. Where's the book? Well, you got to hear me sing a little bit, Blessed Souls. Not that entertaining, was it? Okay, so continuing on, this whole idea that the essence of food is for the sake of the body. The concept relates to this, is that, again, the shorish is habot oguf, the kol nivraim, that the source of the manifestation, creation of the essential creation of the body of all created beings, even the body of an animal, even the body of a vegetative matter, are coming from the divine qualities of Sovka Almin. So therefore, the essence of the food is for the essence of the body. Because the manifestation of the body of food, whether it be from animal matter or vegetative matter, again, has its ultimate shoresh in Sovka Almin, the light that encompasses all the worlds, just like the body of a man. So there's like an interfacing of where the food is rooted within the Sovka Almin, the light that encompasses all the world, with the human body, which is also rooted in Sovka Almin. So Sovev meets Sovev, encompassing the encompassing consciousness that was invested into creating that one particular human, blessed human being, is also the same type of divine consciousness, although with a certain redirection towards the manifestation of human food. With that being said, that also that there is vitality that is accessed by eating the food from the body of the food, but it's not from the vitality itself. Why do we see that? Because when we eat meat, we only eat the meat after the animal has been slaughtered, and hopefully slaughtered in the most merciful fashion possible, and the animal has to die. So its life force laves it, and that's evident by the fact that its blood is, though that in the preparation of kosher meat, all the blood has to be removed from the body. So basically, the person, and we know that in the soul is where the investment, the enclosement, in the blood, excuse me, is where there's the investment of the soul. So when the person eats, say, a piece of meat, they're getting enlivened by the meat itself, that meat which ultimately came from, in its shoresh, in its root, from Sovka Almin, the godly light that encompasses all the worlds. It wasn't getting its vitality, or a person doesn't get the vitality from the blood of the animal, because that's where the vitality was invested in. Also, too, with a vegetable matter. Let's say I had celery this morning. The celery was plucked from the field wherever it grew. I think it was out in California. So that the celery was plucked from the ground, it was disconnected from its physical life source. That was the ground where it got its nutrients and rain and sunlight and everything else it's supposed to get. And then I take it, after it's been plucked from the ground, probably a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks after it was plucked from the ground, an IRU, you make, I think, a wise choice to eat some celery. It's a healthy food. It's also very good, I understand, for maintaining the bone density in our blessed bones. We chew it with our teeth, and we break it down. So when we break it down, we're breaking down the corporeality to be ingested and now fused into our corporeality. Again, the essential source of the celery came from Sovika Omin, fusing now with the Sovika Omin of a human being in the physical body. Now, I also want to clarify, because I was thinking about this with my presentation last week, the fact that we were commanded to be fruitful, multiply, when man and woman become one flesh and have children, that is not yesh ma'ayin, because we are physical beings already. That is yesh mi'esh, a entity of substance, of physicality, of corporeality, bringing forth another one, is already after the fact that we are all rooted back to the original creation of the Most High. So we don't even begin to even think it's plausible, according to the inner dimensions of Torah, to promote the idea that you know, we're not spontaneously generated. We were, at the sense of it arose in the will of the Creator to create everything out of divine nothingness, Ayin Eloki. But in terms of the successive generations, until this time, most existentially emphasized, everything now is following a pattern in the development and extension of the species, the human family experience species, in a way of yesh me'esh, you know, corporeal matter fusing and forging more corporeal matter. But we do not emulate the attributes of the Creator, because while we're engaged in raising our children or doing those things that lead to the birth of children, we're caught up in that. The Most High is the source of all multitasking. And even for Him, it's not even multitasking. It just happens to be something that we are aware of, that He brings life forth every second, renewing it with every single breath that we take. Baruch Hashem, may He be blessed. So the growth of the body, so once I take in that vitality of, say, that lettuce I've chewed or that piece of meat I've eaten, so the growth of my body, or the continuing maintenance, hopefully, of good health, may there all be good health upon all those who are listening to this humble effort today. So the continual growth is coming from the quality of divine life force, of quality of Mamalika Omen, the life that fills all the world, because my body is a vessel for chewing on that piece of celery. That celery is a vessel for my chewing it, and I grow, or I do not wither from the process of eating celery. I grow. New cells are growing within my body. I might not grow another inch or two. I mean, hopefully I won't grow it horizontally from the stomach region. Everyone knows what we're talking about there. In the world, we're unfortunately afflicted with so much obesity. But again, we want to remind everyone that the essence of the corporeality of the body of the celery interfacing with the essence of the corporeality of the physical human body, the root of both are coming from Sovika Omin, the light that encompasses all the world. And therefore, when there is a cessation of the life force within the celery, or say in the piece of meat, which is by the celery being plucked from the ground, and when the animal is slaughtered properly, that, again, there's nothing to nurture the essence of the corporality of the human body from the Mamalika Amin, the light that fills all the worlds, that's invested, that was previously invested into the soul within the blood of the animal, or there's nothing from Mamalika Amin to continue to enliven the celery stalk, because we know if you pluck a celery stalk, leave it out on your kitchen table, a week later it's going to be rotting. So it's within that power to enliven the body of a person. So to speak, we have like kind of like a sandwich of two expressions of Sovika Omin. The top layer of allegorical bread is the physical body of the human being, again, whose ultimate root is from Selvik Amin, the light that encompasses all the worlds of the Creator, the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the Infinite One may be blessed. And the bottom layer of this allegorical sandwich, the allegorical bread, is, say, like that stalk of lettuce that one can eat. So at that point, there is going to be growth of human cells and whatever needs to grow in the body, if the human being is at the stage that they can still physically grow. And sandwich in between is the meat, allegorical meat of the soul. So we're going to leave it at that, blessed souls, and hopefully everyone had some sort of spiritual nourishment, food for thought, muzzle on the nefesh, and hopefully we'll actually be able to conclude with actual some music by our blessed brother David Dohm, will help us get home to remind us that Tzelem Elokim is no dream. Divine image will help us get off in scrimmage. Let's make it a positive day, blessed souls, and let's never forget that we're all good, blessed souls, because Ateva Tov Lehetiv is the nature of the good to do good, rooted in the Most High Creator, who is blessing us right in this moment, which never existed and never will again, at this very moment, to remind us that we can make it a civilized world, configured to the prophecy in Isaiah 45:18. The world was not created to be a place of chaos, but rather to be a settled habitat for, and I add, the blessed human family experience, hopefully in a way, speaking days, Bikor v'yomeno, b'darchi noam, in a pleasant way, darchi shalom, b'ofen shalom, havachad, in a way of one love, the kolon of all of us, l'hamshik, to be continued, b'ezod Hashem yisprik, with the help of the Most High. Take care, everyone. And this is David Dohm's Out of the Blue, and we're going to try to connect to our speaker. Take care.
Oh, spirit, now.